Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation here this morning is recorded in the 19th chapter of the book of Job, beginning with the 25th verse. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, and in my flesh I will see God, whom I will see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. My heart faints within me. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us through your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. When communism collapsed in East Germany, people gained access to the files that the secret police were keeping on them. These files proved to be a deep betrayal. Many were horrified to learn that their neighbors, their friends, their pastors, and their loved ones had been informing on them for years. Their faith in those that were the closest to them was shaken to its very core. That's exactly how Job felt in the verses right before our text. For Satan had stripped him of his children, his possessions, and his health. His closest friends kept telling him that he must have done something to deserve these afflictions. The local children, his servants, even his own wife lost all respect for him. Finally, he even felt like God had forsaken him. And yet, besieged by crosses and doubts, he makes one of the greatest Easter confessions in the entire Old Testament. We then reflect on this theme. I know that my Redeemer lives. First, we shall hear a word born out of distress. Instead of listening and supporting him, Job says that his friends only added to his grief. He cries out, how long will you torment me and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times you have cast reproach upon me. Are you not ashamed to wrong me? Those who still owed him respect only showed him contempt. Job laments, I call to my servant, but he gives me no answer. I must plead with him with my mouth for mercy. My breath is strange to my wife. I am a stench to the children of my mother. Even young children despise me. When I rise, they talk against me. Unaware that Satan had been tormenting him all along, Job finally accuses God of mistreating him. He says, now then that God has put me in the wrong and closed his net about me, behold, I cry out violence, but I am not answered. I call for help, but there is no justice. He has kindled his wrath against me and counts me as his adversary. His troops come on together. They have cast up their siege ramp against me and encamp around my tent. Human beings were created to live in faith-based relationships, first and foremost with God, and then with their fellow human beings. The fact that we were built for trust is why we find disloyalty and abandonment so difficult to bear. I pray that you never have to bear a cross as great as Job's. For as great as the crosses you may have experienced in this life, few have borne them as well as Job, for he remained righteous despite his friends' unjust accusations against him. How many of us would do the same if we were so repeatedly maligned? But it's just as important to recognize that Job didn't bear his cross perfectly. As heroic as his faith no doubt was, his faith wavered. For he assumed God had forsaken him and that God was now waging war against him. In our culture today, it's very common for us to assume that we are always the victim. Before we jump to this conclusion, we ought to sit and compare ourselves with Job's friends. When they learned of his plight, they dropped everything and they came to him in order to sympathize and comfort him. Could many of our friends say the same about us? They tore their clothes in grief with him. They sprinkled dust upon their heads and they wept with him for an entire week before they uttered a foolish word. How long would it have taken for any of us to tell him, "It's time to buck up, Job. It's time to get over it." Job's friends, though, eventually did conclude that he must have done something to deserve these afflictions. However, they weren't privy to the full revelation about God's crosses. For while we know that God lets us experience crosses for our own spiritual and personal growth, how often don't we still attribute the suffering of others to their laziness and poor judgment? Sad to say, we are probably not as righteous as Job's friends, let alone Job. But now we will hear a word that carries us over all distress. As Job reaches his lowest point, his faith begins to soar. When God's grace felt insufficient, God's power was made perfect in weakness. Job appealed to the revealed God over against the hidden God. He clung to God's promises in the face of all of his doubts, and he confessed that God would become his kinsman so that he could redeem him. By the same token, Job even confessed his own resurrection, for he confidently believed that he would behold his vindication with his own two eyes, for he says, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God, whom I will see for myself, and my eyes shall behold and not another. My heart faints within me." That's exactly what Christ does for each and every one of us as well. He took on our human nature so that he could become the next of kin to all humanity. Not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and innocent suffering and death, he paid for all of our most heinous offenses. Not only that, he really was forsaken by God, so that none of us would ever have to experience it. Via his resurrection, he transformed our fallen humanity so that we could one day rise with him in glory. On that last day, our resurrection and beatific vision will be the final vindication of all against all of Satan's ugly accusations against us. Maybe you're thinking, this only applies to heroes of the faith like Job. Therefore, I can never make Job's words my own. For my faith is nowhere near as strong as Job's. Even if our faith is not as strong as Job's, Jesus reminds us that even the mustard seed of faith alone can move mountains. But what about my doubts? Surely faith cannot coexist with doubts. But take another look at Job. His faith was filled with doubts. And yet God vindicated him before Christ even redeemed and resurrected him. For where there is faith, there will be doubts. Where there is steadfastness, there will be weakness. Only the Redeemer ever had a perfect trust. Only his will ever perfectly conformed with that of his Father. Thus, thanks be to God that not only his perfect righteousness is credited to us, but also his perfect faith becomes ours in justification as well. Therefore, we never need doubt that our imperfect faith precludes us from certainty of salvation. For when we look at Job, we can say, even a weak faith like mine, it will be granted eternal life. For St. Paul states, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. After all, Jesus is a better Savior than we could possibly be a sinner. What about Job's friends? Was there no hope for them? Rest assured, God even had mercy on them. Granted, he did rebuke them, but then he told them to offer sacrifices of repentance. He also told Job to offer prayers on their behalf. Thus, even if we are as bad a friend as Job's, God doesn't want to cast us out into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. He wants us to repent of our sins. He also wants us to have full assurance that we can be reconciled with him as well. How can we possibly know this? The book of Ezekiel states, "As I live, declares the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked should turn from his way and live." Job's confession is indeed a word that can carry us over every distress that we could possibly face in this life. It is a word that deserves to be engraved on a rock forever. More than that, it is a word that deserves to be sung into the hearts of every person everywhere. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that he lives because he died for me. I know that he lives so that I will never be forsaken. I also know that he continues to live so that I can be with him forever. Amen.